Welcome to What is Going Om for New Thought from the Edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello. Do you believe you've lived before? With over 30,000 books on reincarnation now available on Amazon, past life research is becoming a very well-documented subject. What is less well-documented is a new variation on that question I just posed. Do you believe that you've lived before on other planets? Dr. Linda Backman is an expert psychologist and regression therapist with 44 years of private practice experience, including over 25 years guiding thousands of soul regressions in person and remotely. The author of three books, The Evolving Soul, Bringing Your Soul to Light, and her latest work, Souls on Earth, Exploring Interplanetary Past Lives, Dr. Linda Backman joins me now to share the compelling data and case histories of interplanetary souls who've lived on other worlds and now incarnated here, many for the very first time. Who are these souls? Why are they here? What can we learn from them? And how would you know if you are one of them? Dr. Linda Backman, welcome.
Thank you, Sandy. It's a pleasure to be here.
Good to talk with you again. So for many years, you had a conventional practice as a psychologist. And then in 1999, that seems to be such a pivotal year for so many people, you studied and then co-taught regression therapy with Michael Newton. Now, all of your work is conducted with the psycho-spiritual realm. So tell us, what was the catalyst for that turnaround?
Well, the catalyst, if I try to make the story short, was in 1993. So in 1993, as you just said, Sandy, I was a conventional psychologist. I honestly didn't understand much about soul, reincarnation, past lives. That was pretty much, for the most part, blank for me. In 93, my original psychologist colleague, a man about 14 years younger than I, we'd built a group practice of psychologists and psychiatrists. Sadly, in his early 30s, he died from a type of lung cancer. And when he crossed over, of course, back then I would have just said when he died, he started talking to me from the other side. And I believed he started showing me scenes of past lives we'd shared. So I was married to my husband, to whom I'm still happily married. And my husband and I are very, you know, kind of progressive, liberal people. We had never talked about reincarnation or the soul. I don't know why. And so I began to explain to my husband what I was experiencing in regard to the soul of my colleague, who my husband also knew well. They were friends and played golf together. And so I explained to my husband Earl what was going on. And he looked back at me with a very calm look. And I looked back at him and said, "So you don't think this is odd?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Why not?" And he said, "I guess here's why not." He said, when he was a boy growing up, and he had completely forgotten about all this, when he was a boy growing up around age 10, he spontaneously remembered his past lives in detail. But he said, I just pushed that all aside. I didn't think anyone would believe me. So I forgot about it until now. So fortunately, my husband, who's not a psychologist, he's a PhD academic, he said, "Go for it. If you're interested in understanding all of this, fine, I support you." And that was very helpful. That was beautiful. So I began reading, studying, taking training. And of course, that's almost 30 years ago.
And you met Michael and you trained with Michael and then you worked with him training others.
Yes, that's correct. I met Michael in 98 or 99, trained when he first began to train people in his modality. And then we, together with the beginning of the organization that surrounded Michael Newton, we created a very in-depth training program, and I co-taught with Michael Newton.
And Michael told you that at times, and you might find this in the future, people who are regressed talk about not having lived before, but having had past lives on other planets. Did that, well, by then, I don't suppose it did surprise you.
Well, you know, vaguely in my memory, I remember that when I was the student versus the colleague with Michael, he would say, you know, class, occasionally you'll come across a client who's going to discover a past life that's not on Earth. And I thought, well, okay. And for the first few years, Sandy, of my regression work, I don't remember having many clients who went to past lives not on Earth until I probably guided regression for, I don't know, 6 or 8 years. And then I began to realize over time that almost half my clients were discovering in their regression that they are souls that don't usually incarnate on Earth. And so that just kept, you might say, mushrooming over time. And finally, I said to my guide, so, you know, what's the point? Why are you, because I think this is the way it happens, why are you funneling these clients into my practice? And they said, well, that's the point, Linda. We want you to understand what's unique about these souls, what do they struggle with, what are their gifts, why are they here, because they need support. And so that's what happened. And even today, probably 40 to 50% of my clients that I work with are souls that don't typically incarnate on Earth.
So why are they here now?
You know, it's interesting, and we can broaden this, of course, as we go through our conversation today, but it's a simple explanation. The basic understanding is a simple explanation, and that is that they come from highly evolved cultures somewhere in the celestial realm, and we need their wisdom. We need their healthy perspective of life that they know, because of where they come from, we need that brought to humanity. So that's the simple explanation.
I think it's been said, was it Neil deGrasse Tyson said something about how many of us have probably come from Mars. I mean, do you find that a majority of the people say that that's where they've come from originally, or is it spread out across the universe?
That's a great question, because people want to know, so where, you know, where's my home? Because, and I call these souls interplanetary souls. All that means is, you know, you could say ET souls, you could say starseed souls, it's all the same terminology. So the client needs to know, what's their home? I call it their home base. What's their home location like? What are the qualities? What are the challenges? What are the gifts? But no, they come from many more places than we can even imagine in our own mind's eye. So people will say, is it the Pleiades? Is it Arcturus? And the bottom line is it's all that and more. And many of the places where they come from are not nameable in a way that we would comprehend as humans.
So what sort of challenges do they have when they, you know, take human form?
At times, and for some of them, we might say lots of challenges. So some examples would be, there are definitely some of these interplanetary, or what I call IP souls. Some of them are diagnosed on the autistic spectrum. And, you know, and that's a spectrum, as everybody knows, but some of them are diagnosed ADHD. Then to an extreme, some of them don't communicate well through normal means. They communicate better through music, through artistic work. And so it varies, but at times it's simply because they come from cultures where they may not speak in order to communicate. It might be telepathic, where they, I'm thinking of one example of one of my most interesting clients is a person who comes from a location in the spiritual realm where the souls remain childlike in the healthiest ways. They remain childlike permanently. And so they're happy, they're joyful. They love, although this particular person who's a highly educated person with a highly responsible job, in her private life, she has stuffed animals. In her private life, she lets herself have time where she just eats exactly what she wants to eat. Not day in and day out. Mm-hmm. But so it really varies. The bottom line to the whole thing is that Earth is a highly unique place where, in certain ways, our way of life isn't healthy. These IP souls come from healthy places, but if you have, you know, like if I held up 10 fingers, so there'd be perhaps 10 different places where these souls come from, each of those places would be unique in how they operate. They might be completely nature-based. They might be completely animal-based. Perhaps they don't have children. Perhaps everybody has children. They're very unique, and yet they're healthy locations.
So you talk about, you know, these souls being highly evolved. I mean, this kind of infers that we aren't. You know, they're coming here to help us, and we're not that evolved.
Well, of course, there are humans that are highly evolved. You know, there are humans that are doing phenomenal things on the planet, from, you know, technology to artistic work to, I mean, even, I hazard to say this, but I will say it, even in the political spectrum, we have various leaders, not just where I live, various leaders, you know, on the planet who are pushing democratic principles. So those are evolved souls, but that's not the vast majority of humans on our planet. And the challenge of Earth is, will we grow into a primarily healthy culture versus primarily not so healthy culture? And I honestly think the jury's still out on that process. I mean, obviously, just look at what's going on in the world, where the people who say, oh, we don't need to worry about climate change, or, you know, diet doesn't matter. Honestly, that's not how humans are going to
Well, the way I look at it is that, you know, the state we're in now, we need all the help we can get to evolve. Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
So you say that all souls hold a unique archetypal energy, which is unchanging throughout all of their lifetimes, and that there are 7 archetypes. Tell me a little bit about this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So all souls, well, let me back up an extra step, Sandy. My understanding is that there are 3, we might say, types of souls on the earth, 3 types of souls that incarnate on earth. One is what I call an earth-based soul. And I always want to be really clear with that, because sometimes people think I'm saying earthbound, and that's a whole nother meaning to that terminology. So an earth-based soul, I actually happen to be an earth-based soul. So an earth-based soul is a soul that has been incarnating here on earth probably for thousands, if not tens of thousands of years. So that's one type of soul. An interplanetary soul, as we've been talking about, comes from somewhere else in the universe And then lastly, there are souls that come from the angelic realm. They come from that realm that supports the divine, that supports source, and they bring love and compassion energy to the earth. So all three souls incarnate, all three types of souls incarnate on earth, but they're uniquely different and can be here for uniquely a different purpose. An earth-based soul, yeah, I think I would put it this way. I'm trying to be as clear as I can be. An earth-based soul automatically, when that earth-based soul began their incarnational journey, they had or have an archetype, one of seven orientations to life, that is their soul archetype that kind of defines how they operate in their life. And I can give an example in a minute. An interplanetary soul does not carry this archetype where they come from, but when they come to Earth, they too take on one of these seven archetypes. And then an angelic soul automatically is only one of the seven because one of the archetypes is tied to love and compassion. So the best way to define what these seven archetypes mean is that all seven archetypes, if we, you know, were to combine them, they are the, let's see how to say this, they make up healthy, higher frequency energy, or we might say they make up the energy that source contains. So these archetypes, just to give a couple of examples, the first archetype is the most, I always like to say it's the most punchy. It's, and when I say that, I just mean the most directive. It's the change agent archetype. It's the, I always, just as an easy example, I use Steve Jobs as an example. Steve Jobs, obviously, the person that, in many ways, recreated the, along with help from others, Steve Jobs, who recreated the computer industry. He was a change agent. So that's a left brain, let's alter something about our culture that needs to change. And then, so without going into all seven archetypes, and unless you want me to, the archetypes, some of them are left brain, some of them are right brain, but they fit together in a composite that holds the totality of healthy energy that source contains.
Okay. So I want to talk about gender because in your book, you say your regression material offers convincing evidence that the soul itself is androgynous. But when we come on the planet, we obviously, you know, adopt a gender. Now, Lee Carroll, who channels Kryon, said something recently that I was surprised by. He said it's a myth that we swap gender every lifetime. He says that we stay the same gender for many lifetimes. And then when we do swap for various reasons, and they're good reasons, it can take three or four lifetimes to get used to the new gender. And during those three or four lifetimes, it's not uncommon for the person to be bisexual while they're making that transition from one to another. What do you think about that?
That's very interesting. Well, what I know from years, 27 or so years of guiding regression, is that I always hate to say never, but I would say it's just about never the case that as a soul, that we've always been a woman, or we've always been in, you know, this gets tricky in our culture today of trans and that sort of thing. But I think it's fair to say that we've never always been born in a, what seems to be a male body, or we've not always been born in a female body. As I track past lives with clients, or as I track my own past lives. I mean, I can tell you that I know that I've been male and female. And, you know, so I don't need to, you know, argue with what Lee Carroll is channeling. So here's the point, and I can hear my guides talking to me in my head. I think what happens with various teachers is that, in this case, Lee Carroll, is that he's receiving information that he needs to be receiving. So it's his role and responsibility to put that information out for others for their benefit. So for me, I've not come across that very specific information as to we're male, then we are female and we have to adapt, and perhaps we're bisexual for some period of lifetimes. I've not come across that. I do know, because this has come forward in regression a fair amount, that in our human culture, in my humble opinion, we are way too hung up on gender. That we just are way too concerned about what's your gender and what can women do and what can men do and blah, 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 blah. And
Yeah. You do say in your book that the fact that the soul itself is androgynous, that you believe that the original intent was for us to certainly be more gender balanced.
I think that's crucial. And, you know, we see it. I've been following a lot of the U.S. election results that just happened in the last week to 10 days. And there are many changes that I think need to be happening. We suddenly have more female governors. We have more female governors now than we've ever had. We have two female lesbian governors. That has never happened in the U.S. It looks likely the new, what will be the minority leader in our House of Representatives in the U.S. for the first time is likely to be a Black man. And it's never been a Black person, period. So all these, I mean, humans, in my opinion, are too hung up on, you know, what's your education? What's your gender? What kind of work do you do? All of that.
Yeah. Do your guides see what is happening now as progress in the right direction? Or?
That's a great question. I think, to be honest, the best answer is yes and no. There are signs of progress. There are definitely signs of progress on the earth and in our, you know, in our culture. And, you know, I've just given you a couple of examples. And, you know, that's happening in your country as well. It's not just happening in the United States. And yet there are so many ways humans, in my opinion, are so stuck in, you know, falsehoods and conspiracy theories and that sort of blind, you know, acceptance of, in my opinion, completely inaccurate information. What I've learned, the listeners might find this piece interesting. My understanding is that if we think about the human population, that only about 5 to 6% of the human, you know, the incarnate soul population, humans, are experienced souls. And when I say experienced souls, I put that on a 10-point scale. I mean souls that are above a 7 on a 10-point scale of evolution. And this 5 to 6% is a combination of advanced earth-based souls, because earth-based souls gain evolution lifetime to lifetime to lifetime by learning and tripping and falling and cleaning up karma, et cetera, et cetera. So that 5 to 6% is made up of about half experienced earth-based souls, and then the other half if you will, you know, a quarter and a quarter, are IP and angelic realm. I'm told through regression that more and more IP and angelic souls are coming to Earth because we need their wisdom and their perspective.
Wow. Well, how does an angelic being cope with this?
Well, so an angelic soul, if, you know, I wish I could bring one right over here alongside me because I know a number of them, and let that man, that woman share with you kind of who they are. They lead with love and compassion. So their core energy is acceptance of all people, non-judgmental. They are generally the kindest, deepest, most caring individuals. You would want them as your best friend because they're just unwavering. They're steadfast. Mm-hmm. And yet they struggle because Earth is not filled with pure love and compassion. So, you know, I think about one woman in particular that I know is an angelic soul. She's very advanced. She's very progressive. She continues to be very involved to some extent in traditional Western religion. It's not blind faith, but she still is, because she's very tied to the divine. And the divine for her infuses her sort of belief structure tied to religious energy. And so she struggled with certain ways that people in one of the church communities that she's been involved with, she struggles with how they treat each other, that they're human and they're, yeah, you know, doing human things that maybe a lot of humans do. But it's not, you know, love and compassionate energy. But we need this vantage point. We wouldn't want to have 100% of humanity all being angelic souls. Mm. But yeah, when angelic souls come to know, often through regression, that they are, in fact, angelic, then they get themselves. Then they understand why they see the world the way they see the world.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. We're going to take a short break now, Linda. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and my guest today is expert psychologist, regression therapist, and author, Dr. Linda Backman, who's been conducting Between Lives soul regression training since 2002. And we're talking about her latest book, Souls on Earth, Exploring Interplanetary Past Lives. After the break, how would you know if you're one of them? Stay tuned.
OM Times TV. Imagine becoming a super influencer. Reinvent yourself, invest in your brand, and then manifest your success with a robust spheric approach. OM Times Media and Broadcasting offers a unique and multifaceted way to become the spiritual and conscious influencer you deserve to be by putting your message across our powerful platform with its proven record of integrity and excellence. Through our produced shows, OM Times offers the opportunity to become a social media TV personality, a radio show host, an OM Times Magazine columnist, and a syndicated podcaster, all in one shot. By live streaming your show on OM Times TV and broadcasting it across the extensive OM Times radio and TV networks, you become more than a host. You become an ambassador and a force for positive change. OM Times. Open yourself to the possibilities.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times' flagship radio show, What Is Going On? And as an author, editor, and 13 times book judge who's read thousands of books and interviewed hundreds of authors, I'm constantly asked what's really worth reading and what's not. So I created the No BS Spiritual Book Club to help you save time and money by picking the brains of discerning names who have walked this path before you. There's no catch, no fees, and no BS, just an ever-growing library of 10 best spiritual book lists from some of your favourite authors and teachers, plus free book excerpts, audios, and video interviews with people like Don Miguel Ruiz Jr., David G., Lee Harris, Mark Nepo, and more. From well-known classics to hidden gems you've never heard of, it's the only no BS guide to the best spiritual books to enlighten your journey of self-discovery. So why not join the club? Get inspired and save money at the NoBSSpiritualBookClub.com.
There are 16 million children struggling with hunger in America. That's 1 in 5 daughters, sons, neighbors, and classmates who don't know where their next meal is coming from. Yet billions of pounds of good food go to waste every year. It's time we do something about it. Feeding America is a nationwide network of food banks that helps provide meals to millions of kids and families in need. Visit feedingamerica.org to help them feed even more. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America.
Welcome back. Dr. Linda Backman, I want to focus on one of the reports in your book, One Case History, about a client called Sheldon. And Sheldon described in regression that he was an insectoid and that he had healing codes for Earth. He described what he looked like. He was 12 to 14 feet, energetically larger than most. And he had, 3 guides that are balls of light intelligence and uses a different type of language to communicate with. When people see themselves, especially as something like an insectoid, are they frightened? Are they shocked? How do they react?
Wow. Great question. I think my best answer is no. So, first of all, I might just say that some of my clients already know or suspect they're not from Earth. Some of my clients don't suspect that at all. So it's a revelation for some, and, it's a total revelation for some and not for others. What I want to say, Sandy, is that, as you were introducing this question, my mind was roaming through the old me, the old Linda, who would, prior to 30 years ago, or even prior to maybe 20 or 25 years ago, would think this was bizarre. It is absolutely not bizarre to me anymore. So just for the listeners. So when I guide a client into a past life, this is so hard to make this really clear. Okay. When I guide a client into a past life or guide them into who are they as a soul, because both happen in a regression in various ways. And so then I want the client to get a sense of what's their physical structure, either in the past life or where they come from as a soul. So we start with the feet. And, so I say, imagine you can either see your feet or you can touch your feet where you are in the scene. Tell me what you notice. And so it begins from there. So like with an insectoid, for example, they'll say, oh, well, these are kind of unusual feet. Oh, and I've heard this far more than once. I have 3 toes. And of course, now that doesn't shock me in any way. So they move on up their body and we come up to midpoint in their body. And they might say, my skin is rough like reptilian. To give all kinds of examples, they also might be wearing some kind of what we might call a space suit, because sometimes they're not in their, like their form, their container, where they come from. I have clients starting off their regression in a UFO, in a spacecraft. And so they describe the garment they're wearing, and then in detail that you could not make up. they describe the spacecraft, the rooms, the controls, the team, their colleagues. But yes, there are insectoid, they're all different types of IP souls. Mm. And some are insect-like because their bodies appear like what we as humans think of as an insect.
An insect, yeah. Well, there was something else that Sheldon had said. He said, I've been taken to the inner earth where there is an ecological, technological pure space where I give a report to galactic networkers and reptilian beings. I'm given a flute to use for sound technology to assist in Earth's evolution. In the early times on Earth, I was fairy and elven, sometimes a big ball of light, sometimes humanoid, and then became human. There's several things in there that are really interesting to talk about. I mean, one is the whole inner Earth thing, because, you know, there's masses of material out there about many of what we think of as UFOs are actually coming from out of the Earth. I'm also interested in what he had to say about sound, because, you know, I firmly believe, and I think we're seeing a lot of evidence of this, that sound is our medicine of the future. And the fact that he says he was fairy and elven, you know, I once came across a situation where I asked a question and I was told that I had come from another planet and had to step down energy. And before I took on a form like a fairy. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not. You know, it didn't necessarily resonate with me, but I thought it was interesting that you come from somewhere else, you have to step down your energy, then you can take on a different form. So speak a little bit to those three things.
Okay. And so it sounds like one of the first questions you're saying is speak to stepping down our energy.
Well, that's one of them. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. All right. Okay. I would hazard to say, let me kind of go global and then go specific if I can. Any advanced soul that agrees to come to Earth has to step down their energy. An angelic soul would have to do that. An advanced Earth-based soul would have to do that. And also, and I'd say for sure, an IP soul has to do that. I have no doubt that fairy energy, what we call, you know, elven energy, is also IP energy. And I have, you know, clients and colleagues who study this in great detail. So, yes, in order to function, I mean, if everybody who's listening thinks about, do we live on an advanced planet? I suspect that most of your listeners would say, no, Linda, Sandy, of course not. So in order to aid the Earth, in order to do what we came to do, if we're an advanced soul, no matter what our soul type is, we have to step down our energy. But I would say, since we're focusing a lot on interplanetary souls, it is a great challenge for the vast majority of interplanetary souls to be in body. Now, some find it easier than others. Those IP souls that find it easier, it's almost for sure because they've been in an Earth body enough times that they've gotten their feet wet, so to speak. It's like if I needed to go live in China, if I just instantly moved to China, I don't speak the language, I don't know the cultural, you know, norms and that sort of thing. But if I'd spent 3 months periodically in China and then suddenly I moved to China, then I'd probably do better in China. Well, it's the same thing with Earth. So some of my interplanetary clients have been here 5 times, 8 times. That's tiny. But some have been here 50 times, 75 times. That's still small because we, as an Earth-based soul, I've been here hundreds, probably 1,000 or more times. But those IP souls that have been here 50, 75 times, they do better because they're more familiar. A lot of IP souls struggle with diet. They struggle with, I can't eat any of these things. You know, I end up with a headache for 3 days or a stomach ache for 3 days. Some IP souls really have to limit what they eat. And so there's all kinds of, just to kind of run through a simple list of symptoms for IP souls, and all IP souls don't have all these symptoms, but autoimmune disorders are common, digestive issues are common, allergies of all types are common, learning challenges are common, simply because these are souls that don't typically, you know, come from here.
Yeah. Yeah. And we find a lot of those things with the kids, you know?
Yes.
So what about the sound? I mean, do you get, have you heard, you know, for many of your clients, anything about sound technology?
Oh yes, for sure. I mean, there are a lot of IP soul clients that, operate better with sound than anything else. If they could, they'd communicate through sound. Or, you know, these are some of these highly skilled people that are highly capable of creating technology. And the technology is via sound. And so they're drawing on their skills where they come from. Some of these IP souls, where they come from, the only way they communicate is through sound. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's so easy for us as humans. We're so, I would say, egocentric as humans that we think, oh, everybody is supposed to operate the way we operate. That's just not the case.
Mm. And what about the, earth? The center of the earth, that, you know, some of them don't come from another galaxy, but they come from a different dimension, perhaps within the earth.
They may come from a different dimension within the earth, or it may be that where they come from in the universe, how can I say this? Where they come from in the universe, they also then spend time in the core of the earth. In other words, you know, I think about the people who live in and around Mount Shasta, California. Mm. And so many people believe, and I think it's likely true, that there are souls that reside in the base of that mountain.
Yes.
And the people that spend time there, and I've been in Shasta many times, sense the energy of the souls in that mountain. So yes, I think that whether we're talking about IP souls who simply almost exist in both places, they exist somewhere in the celestial realm, but they also spend time trying to aid Earth by, they can bilocate and exist within the Earth. You know, it's like for me, Sandy, nothing would surprise me at this stage of my regression work. Mm. Because just when I think I've learned a lot about a subject, then I have two or three new clients, which I love, quite honestly. And I come away from those two or three sessions, I learned something completely in addition to what I already knew.
Yeah. So tell us, how would someone discover whether they are interplanetary or not?
Well, for people listening who are wondering if they are, usually, this is not, 100%, but commonly, IP souls are people who, when they were growing up, they were much more interested in the night sky. I've had lots of my clients say that when they were 5, 6, and 7 years old, their favorite thing to do would be to stand by the window at night and just stare out the window. because they were much more comfortable with the night sky, which relates to where they come from. So these are often people who love sci-fi. These might be Trekkies. They're people that at some level, they know they're not really from Earth. They could be astrologers, people who get that bigger picture. So they're not Earth-centric. They're from elsewhere. And then just, how to say this, usually IP souls are highly aware, highly knowledgeable, highly intelligent, and yet they're unusual. They're unusual sometimes, even in how they look physically. They might be people with unusual hair color, hairstyle. They might be people who wear unusual coordination of clothing and colors and that sort of thing. They're highly creative and not, you know, the average bear, we might say.
So what have you learned from your IP clients about the evolution of humanity and of the universe?
Well, obviously, the evolution of humanity is struggling. Let me share this perspective. This might be helpful. So the souls that originally came to Earth are souls that, so when Earth began to have what we might call human culture, the original souls that came to Earth, like myself, for example, are souls that came from somewhere else in the universe. And when those souls came to Earth, many of those souls then became Earth-based souls because rather than any longer incarnating somewhere else, they incarnated here on Earth. And that continued with the goal of humanity to be reaching the point of, and this is going to sound sort of overly idealized, but with the goal of human culture being acceptance of all people, equality of all people, lack of judgment, lack of these people's needs are met on the earth, but these people's needs, because they look different or they have less money or what else, their needs aren't met. So what IP souls are clearly telling me, basically regression in, regression out, is that Earth is struggling to evolve. But we need the wisdom of all three types of souls. We absolutely need interplanetary souls. We will have more. They will come in as babies. And the reason I say that is it's my understanding that thousands of years ago, interplanetary souls could materialize in an adult body, and then they could dematerialize. Again, my knowledge of that from regression is that has not happened in, you know, thousands of years. That now, when an IP soul comes to Earth, they come in through the birth process, and they have to grow and evolve as, you know, from age 2 to 3 to 10 to, you know, and so forth. But humanity is struggling, and it's, I think, my job and Sandy's job and the role of anyone listening to take steps to assist humanity.
Yeah, but we do have ET visitors.
When you say ET visitors, do you?
We do have beings that come to visit on vacation, perhaps, or have a look around. I mean, you talk about, you know, people have materialized before as humans, but that hasn't happened for a long time. And yet there are more, there's more talk of ETs than ever these days.
Yes, yes, yes. No, I think that's true. We have, we might call them the observers. we might call them, you can call them visitors. They might be IP souls that are gathering, you might say, data as to, and this I've heard many times in regression, they might be IP souls that have never sent souls from that home location to Earth. And they're scouts. They're scouting life on Earth, because it is not easy for an IP soul to just suddenly have their first incarnation on Earth. So they're gathering, what's it like to be on Earth? How do they communicate? How do they eat? You know, how do they have relationships?
Cheat sheets.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Crib notes.
Yeah. Well, we're almost out of time. I want you to tell us a little bit before we close about your podcast.
So I have a number of different podcasts. People can find that by going to my website, which is ravenheartcenter.com. And podcasts are wonderful, fascinating interviews with various people. Some of those people are IP souls. Some of them are not IP souls. And there's a few with some of my most unique, we might say, clients who are IPs. There's some information about not growing up, an IP soul that we talked about not growing up. There's some information from another IP soul client who has brought, let me see how to say this, who has brought her IP past life challenges to Earth, the IP struggles that happened in interplanetary past lives. We can then have those souls that came from our IP past lives, those souls can be embodied on Earth as humans. And we're still dealing with the struggles, the karma, and we can work that out on Earth. Yeah.
Yeah. So how often do you do your podcast?
It, you know, honestly, it just varies. There's usually a new podcast released somewhere between every month or two, and it's not like on a regular cycle. We're usually pulling from. Sometimes it's because I teach virtual courses. I have guest teachers in my virtual courses. So sometimes we're using the content from the guest teacher as part of a podcast. Right. And sometimes it's a direct interview for the purpose of the podcast. People can find all that material on my website and go listen to it. And it's IP and more than just that.
Yeah. And you do a lot of training too, don't you? You train, you have a training institute in Boulder.
Yes. I've been training people to guide past life regression and then the soul level regression, between lives regression. I mean, I've been training people since, you know, the early 2000s. And so if people are interested in learning to do what I do, and we need more capable regression therapists, in my opinion, because it really aids people to come to know who are they as a soul? Why are they here? What are they dealing with? Yeah. What is the meaning of their challenges, their relationships, their health issues? It just sheds light on something that perhaps, you know, heretofore didn't make sense to them.
I can imagine there's a lot of people watching, listening, who would love to have a session with you. Do you still do private sessions?
Yes, I still do private sessions. I mean, I do many different things, but that's probably what I do most often. So I guide private regressions week in and week out, and I guide them at this point in time all remotely on Zoom. It works just fine. It works very well. So people can live anywhere. They can be on their own couch, you know, in their own bedroom. And yes, I quite regularly guide private regressions.
You also do a number of events. Do you have any events coming up?
Well, actually, in the spring, in May of 2023, I'm going to be in Paris giving a one-day workshop. So people can find that on my website, and obviously maybe some people are, you know, like you, Sandy, live closer than I do to Paris, but I'll be in Europe giving a workshop. I teach ongoing virtual courses. Those are all listed on my website, so people can find them there.
Dr. Linda Backman, thank you for joining us today. It's a truly fascinating book.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be with you.
So, Dr. Linda Backman's book, Souls on Earth, Exploring Interplanetary Lives, The Evolving Soul, and Bringing Your Soul to Light, are published by Llewellyn Books. And you can learn more about Dr. Backman's books, training, programs, private sessions, courses and events at ravenheartcenter.com. That's it for this week. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'll be back with another edition of What is Going On at the same time next Thursday. Till then, it's goodbye from me.